Father, I thank you, Lord, for all your people that are here today. And as always, Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to this simple cause that light, oh Lord, as we pray every day to shine in our hearts. Give us understanding of what the Lord is saying. Give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So today I want to talk about how God speaks to us through circumstances. That's right. You know, we've talked about many things. At the end of the series, I will give a full summary again of all the various ways. But today I want to talk about how God speaks to us through circumstances and, you know, how we ourselves can flow in what I call the prophetic. Then we're going to be talking about how to hear from God, all these various ways, and how to discover, you know, these things in our lives. You know, basically, we've been talking about the ways that God speaks to us. And then, you know, how do we discover, you know, these ways that he speaks to us? Because in order for you to answer the question of, you know, understanding God's purpose for my life, which is a lot of times people ask that question, we need to know how God is speaking to us. So that's why we're doing this lesson. And once you understand how God speaks to you and the various ways in which he can speak to you, it becomes easier for you to hear when he's speaking. It becomes easier for you to know when he's trying to lead you. Praise God. Today I want to talk about how God may lead us through circumstances. That's right. And that may be something that we don't pay attention to at times. I'm going to bring some scriptures. You know, we've talked about, you know, the scripture saying to us in Proverbs 3 verses 5 through 7 that, look, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. You know, these are scriptures that tell us that God direct our paths. You know, it may not be exactly what, you know, where you think you're going or what you think you're doing, but the Lord will direct your paths. Psalm 37, that was Proverbs 3, 5 to 7. And then Psalm 37, verse 23 says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Well, let's talk about these things. What does that mean? Well, you know, that means God has a way of directing you and even sometimes cornering you into how, you know, he wants you and what he wants you to do and how he wants you to go. I'll give you a few stories in the Bible and then say a few things of how God uses circumstances. We may be praying about something and we may not see the answer right in front of us, but if we recognize these ways, various ways that we've been talking about that God can speak to us, it may be easier for us to recognize and discern his voice. I've talked about sometimes because of our personal experiences of how God has spoken to us in the past, we're always expecting that that's the only way that God may speak to you again. And that causes this problem of, I can't hear his voice. He may be speaking in other ways. This is very important throughout this lesson. The story that was in John chapter 5, the man that was waiting. This is not about hearing God's voice, but it's just a lesson about not always expecting that God must do things the same way all the time. This man that was waiting to be healed, waiting for the angel to stay at the pool, and if he by chance will be the first to get in there, he will be healed. That was the way that they received their healing. And this man thought that's the only way that he could receive his healing. You know, I just got to wait for that angel. And if I happen to be the first, well, every time I've tried, somebody got in ahead of me. So, you know, he was already at a disadvantage, even going in, because his experience was, you know, well, you know, each time I tried it, somebody got in ahead of me, and this is the way I must be healed. So I got to try to be the first person. So he's already in his mind limited God to that way. That's the way I'm going to get my healing. Got to be that way. Because that's the way God did in the past. That's the way he's going to do it. So I'm looking for that. Now that's a problem. And that's what Jesus was trying to set the man straight. And showed us that story so that we can know that, look, yes, God can use the angel and the pool or whatever else. But, you know, today he may not need to use the pool or the angel. He may just heal you some other way. You know, so the same thing comes to, you know, the same thing comes to mind when we are dealing on this subject of hearing from God, how God may be leading us through, you know, various ways. And, you know, how do we discern his voice? You know, if you're used to God leading you through dreams and visions, that may be the only way that you think God will speak to you. And so, you know, when you didn't get a dream and you didn't get a vision, then people will say, well, I can't hear the voice of God. He may be speaking to you through any of these other ways that we've talked about. You know, so let's not limit God necessarily to what you already know, how you've experienced him. That's good. You know, we should recognize that. In fact, when we talk about, you know, how to recognize what God may be leading you and calling you into, you know, that will play into it. You know, some of the things that God's already put into us and so on. But when it comes to hearing his voice, God can speak in any of these ways. So today, I want to talk about God speaking to us through circumstances. And there's two or three stories I want to tell us in the Bible, from the Bible about that. Again, remember, we're always going to the Bible to bring out these stories, not just tell our own personal. I'm not just telling my own personal experience. That may come later. People can share their experience. But first, we got to bring the Word of God, how we see it in the Bible. Now, talking about God talking through us, to us through circumstances. There's an interesting story here, you know, in Genesis chapter 24. And this one has many angles, actually. There's many angles. And so I want to read the story. It's got many angles, you know, that relate to this topic. Now, in this story, you know, Abraham commissioned one of his senior servants to go get a wife for his son Isaac. And he gave him instruction of what to do, you know, where not to find a wife for him and where to go and so on. And so the man, you know, went on his way. And there's so many different interesting aspects of this story. We'll just read through the story and see what the Lord has to tell us. Genesis chapter 24. I'm going to read from about verse 12 to perhaps 28 or so. The story is in there. You know, so this is how this man went. In fact, let me start a little bit earlier just to give you some context. I might even start from verse 1. When Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed him in all things, Abraham said to the eldest servant in his house, ruled over all he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh and swear, you know, by the God of heaven, you will not take a wife to me of the sons of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But I want you to go back to my country, to my kindred, and take a wife to my son Isaac. That was the charge. So that's the background to the story. And the servant said, well, yeah, well, but what if the woman will not follow me into this land? And I'll go to the place and I will try to bring her. What if she doesn't follow? Well, you know, must I take thy son to that land back there? And Abraham said, beware, don't take my son back there, because the Lord already called me out of there. And, you know, so, but, you know, if you go and try what I tell you to do, if it works, great. If it doesn't, then you are quit of this oath that you made today. You know, so the servant took, that's the background to the story. So verse 10 now, the servant took the 10 camels and camels of his master and departed. He's going back to the, you know, place. Abraham's own country, his own kindred, where he came from and so forth. He's going to try to find a wife for his master's son from among the people where Abraham came from. Remember, God had called Abraham out of that place. Okay, so now he takes his journey, made his camels and so forth. And he took a journey, went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. Remember, that was the lineage of Abraham. He came from Nahor and so on and so forth. So, when he went down, he made a prayer. Here was his prayer in verse 12. This is where I really wanted to start. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham. So it's his prayer. I pray thee, send me good speed today and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Now behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of this city will come to draw water. He didn't know who he was going to meet. And he said, let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink. Also, let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master this day. So, I mean, kind of a strange prayer, but, that was his prayer. Well, I don't know, maybe a lot of people in this place, but how am I going to find a person? So, well, events, so he's praying around events and circumstances and various things, when they come, I'm going to say to them, give me water. And if they will not only give me water, but also say, set your camels down in a place and I will give for your camels as well. In other words, the woman that goes the extra mile to not only grant my request about the water, but also, take the time to, give drink to all my camels. Well, let it be that one that you have chosen. Well, that was his prayer. Because he didn't know how God was going to lead him. He didn't know, how he was going to find this person. So he put this prayer out there. Okay. And it came to pass before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, and was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother. And her pitcher was upon her shoulder. And so the damsel was very fair to look upon, was a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and say, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water out of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And after she had done giving him drink, she said, I'm going to draw water for thy camels also. Now, this is what this man prayed. It's enough trouble for the woman to fetch you water. But let this woman who goes out of her way to fetch water for all my camels, after giving me water to drink, let it be the one you have chosen. Now, this was his prayer. And so she did not only give him water to drink, she started to fetch water for all his camels. And the man was just saying, oh my goodness. So the man was wondering at her and held his peace to wit whether, is this the Lord that's answering my prayer through these signs and these ways? I mean, this is what I asked the Lord. And could this be the one? And she's not only giving me water, she's fetching water for all my camels, just like I prayed. Well, okay, while he was still wondering about that, so he gave the lady a present, and so forth. And said, so, remember, Abraham said, go to my father's house, go get me a wife for my son from there. And this man prayed his prayer. But he doesn't know who this woman is yet. So now he said, but a couple of things have happened, like he prayed. Some circumstances, some events, some things that the woman did, like he prayed, well, can you, Lord, show me that this is the choice if this and this and this and this and this happens? So now he's going to ask her, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said, this is what's going to blow the servant of Isaac, Abraham's mind, going to blow his mind. by her answer. And she said, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bare unto Nahor. That's how people used to introduce themselves those days, their lineage. And this man said, you know, she said, moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man said, oh my goodness. The very first person that came did as I prayed. She happens to be of the house of the man that sent me. Ah, this has to be God's answer. See, you know, this is how I was thinking it. This has to be God's answer, you know, and the rest of the story and so forth. So, but here's what I wanted to just point out. You can see how the man prayed. He wasn't sure how God was going to lead him to one woman, the right person. He doesn't know how many, and he didn't know how many girls will be in Nahor's house. You know, and how am I going to make the choice? Am I just going to get in there and look at the one that is the fairest among them? You know, what even if she doesn't want to come? I mean, all these things were in his mind. You know, and so he prayed a prayer. Well, Lord, you know, help me, you know, guide me, you know, in other words, make the choice for me by these things that might happen. So it will be very clear to me. Now, God didn't show him a dream. God didn't show him a vision. God didn't speak to him point blank. I mean, you know, all these ways that we've talked about, he never saw any of those. The angel of the Lord didn't come to him and so forth. But God was going to use the circumstances, you know, and various things, you know, to guide him into that decision. This has to be it because of this, 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 and this. Well, he himself actually did pray that prayer. We're going to see situations where it wasn't that people specifically prayed like that. But this is one case where the man specifically prayed. If it is like this and like this and like this, use these things to help me, point me in the right direction. Because how am I going to know this on my own? So that was the story. And it turned out that that was the girl. It also turned out that she wanted to go. Yeah, because, you know, finally the father would ask, when he would ask, he told his story to the man when he went to their house and said, look, this was the case. This was how I prayed. And I know it's this and so forth. Now, can you give me this daughter to wife for my master and so forth? When he introduced himself, oh, you know. But then I said, yeah, well, maybe, but let's ask the girl whether she wants to go. You know, so and it came to pass. So a very interesting story. You can read it all. And it came to pass that the woman actually did say yes. Now, the woman didn't know where she was going. God knew where she was going. This servant didn't know who God was going to help him pick, but he prayed. He said, God, make it known to me through these things that may happen. If it happens this way, then let it be the person that you have chosen. So that's kind of, you know, looking to an answer from God based on circumstances or things that may happen. In this case, he specifically prayed in that direction. And God used it to answer his prayer. And then the rest of the story. She went with him and so on. So that's one instance that God guided this man through a set of circumstances. Now let's look at a couple more stories where they were not actually praying about God using something to guide them, but God used that something to guide them anyway. And make it easier for them to, you know, hear a difficult instruction from the Lord. This story that I'm going to tell you, these two stories, next stories I'm going to tell you, these are stories where God was going to tell somebody to do something difficult or change direction. God already told them something and God is going to make them change direction. That's going to be a difficult thing. So God is going to use circumstances first and then speak to them about that thing. So pay attention to the setting of these stories. You know, these are the way that God does these things. The first of these stories is, of course, Elijah, the rustic figure from the wilderness. So Elijah, First Kings chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. In this story, when this man shows up on the scene, we didn't know very much about him, you know, but, you know, he was a rough guy, you know, but he had stood in the presence of God, you know, and we know very little about his background, but we know a lot of the things that he did. Now, Elijah, he came out and commanded that there would be no rain. It's the first thing we heard of him, you know, and he said, for these years, but by my word, you know, and he just came out, said, you know, as the word of the Lord, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain. So he's going to lock up heaven, take the key and walk away. Now, he wants to do something here. Elijah wanted to do something to bring hardship upon the children of Israel because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So he's going to bring hardship to them, bring them to the point where they must suffer and cry unto the Lord. That's what is in his mind. I'm going to lock up heaven. No rain. I'm going to suffer. And as soon as he said it, of course, you know, he was a prophet that stood before the Lord. The Lord already showed him, you know, what to say and what to do. And after he said that, the word of the Lord came to him and said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself. Now, God gave him instruction. Get away from here. Go hide yourself. They're going to be looking for you. Go hide yourself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be, notice, that thou shalt drink of the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So you have water enough. Everything else will be dry, but this brook will give you water to drink. Moreover, I'll send you room service every day. Heavenly room service. I will dispatch some ravens to bring you food. Now, ravens, you know, they can only carry so much. It's not like an eagle. So there's a small portion he will eat. And God can use anything, by the way. God can use anything. Ravens are among the birds. I don't have time to go into all that. But ravens are among the birds that are called unclean birds. You know, those lessons and stories, that instructions that Moses used to give them. You know, but in this case, God's going to use the thing. Never mind what God can use anything he wants. But the instruction that he was given here was, go to such and such a place and stay by, hide yourself there, because they're going to be looking for you. And drink from the brook. And also, I'm going to send, you know, ravens to bring you food. And it was so. These were the instructions. Praise the Lord. So, he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Now, that's a good thing, you know, to go and do according to the word of the Lord. Praise God. By the way, if you want to get a reference that raven was an unclean bird, I'm not going to go read it, but you can find it in Leviticus chapter 11, somewhere around verse 15. He lumps ravens among all the unclean birds. And there's a lot of unclean birds. Ravens were one of them. Now, so you might say, Elijah might have thought, unclean bird. Why are you going to use an unclean bird, you know, to come and tell? Elijah said no such thing, because he knew how God works. He understood God can use anything he wants. God have used a donkey in the Bible to speak to somebody. You know, God can use raven. You know, he can do anything he wants. You know, so Elijah knew these things. And so the raven, even though it was an unclean bird, was what God chose to bring, you know, Elijah food. Now, there is a lesson to that as well. Maybe someday I'll teach that. But let me leave that alone here today. Let me focus on this part of it. And so, going back to our story, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook, just like the Lord told him. And, you know, is going on. There is, I like to be alone anyway. So being alone by himself didn't bother him at all, because he liked to stand before the presence of the Lord. And, you know, that again tells us that's a great place to be when you are trying to find, hear God's word. It's good to be, you know, cut off from all the distractions, you know, that to you to hear clearly. And Elijah loved to do that anyway. He loved to stand before the presence of the Lord away from everybody. He could hear more clearly that way. And it came to pass after a while. Now, this is the interesting part of this story. After a while, we don't know how long that while might have been, but after a while, it came to pass that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So now Elijah is going to suffer the effect of his own prophecy, because he's the one that said there will be no rain. And God made provision for him through the brook. But now, after a while, because of no rain, the brook dried up. So here is the question I always ask anytime I tell these stories. Could not God have prevented this brook from drying up? Couldn't he? God could have supernaturally supplied water to this brook. He supernaturally supplied food to Elijah. I don't know where the food came from. Maybe God did the cooking. Because, you know, I told you guys some time back that God can cook. You know, so, you know, maybe this God did the cooking. I don't know. But he sent the food anyway to through the ravens. But more importantly, he allowed, notice, God didn't dry the brook, but he allowed the brook to dry up. And God did not stop the brook from drying up. That's many, many lessons in that one short verse. You know, God sent Elijah somewhere to protect him. And he's there and he's flourishing. Everybody else is suffering, but he's got water. God's bringing him food every day. You know, and this same God that's bringing him food, can God not even send the ravens to bring him water or even cause the water not to dry up in the brook? But he did not. Now, there's a reason for it, and we'll find the reason shortly as we read further down. Now, the word of the Lord now came to Elijah and saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, or Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, this Elijah, he was used to doing the things that God tells him, whatever. However, you know, this might have been a difficult understanding for him. God sent him here. God tells you, go somewhere and do this. And then, you know, God's going to change that direction. And some of us are so one directional. Here's what God told me, and that's it. You know, but yesterday's instruction, today's instruction, it may be different. Today, one day God might say, pursue, and you will overcome and recover all. Another day God might say, don't pursue. We saw this in the life of David. One time he said, should I pursue? God said, yeah. Another time, should I pursue? Yeah. One time he said, should I pursue? God said, no. But I'll give you a strategy of how you're going to do it this time. When you hear the spirit moving, go this way, that way, and so forth. When you hear the spirit moving on top of the mulberry trees, then you do this and this and this. You know, so God may answer different ways. The same question, he may answer it different ways at different times. So we can't put God in a box. You can't say God always said yes, therefore he will say yes again. He may say yes at time, this time he may say no. He may say whatever. He's God. We got to learn to flow with the Spirit of God in these things. Now, God made it easier for Elijah to understand that, you know, that assignment around the brook was over. Now, Elijah, if it had been many of us, myself included probably, will be there rebuking that brook from drying up, speaking in tongues to the brook, doing all these things, commanding the brook to come alive. Because that's what the Lord told you, to be by the brook. So, how is the brook going to dry? Spend a lot of spiritual energy and spiritual capital on that brook. Whereas God said the brook should be dried up, Elijah might have spent time praying that the brook should not be dried up. But he understood how God works. That's a lesson for some of you. You know, you have to understand that, you know, the brook may be dried. Sometimes God may show you something to do, you know, maybe leads you into doing some business or whatever. And they may allow the thing to be dried up. And you say, why in the world? And you stay there and pray. You know, prayer may be the thing that you should do at that time, but it may not be prayer about why the brook should not be dry. God may allow the brook to be dry in order to force you to think outside the box. You know, so these are situations in which God was using circumstances. I know and I'm persuaded 100%, in fact, 1,000% in my mind, that God could have caused that brook to not dry up. He could have, but he did not. Why? Because he had another assignment. You know, and if the brook was still running, it might have been harder for Elijah to just leave the place, because that's the place of sustenance right now. So God allowed the brooks to dry up. So God using circumstances to speak, and he prepared him by first letting the brook dry up. Now he sees that, look, this thing is dry. You know, what's going on here? And then the word of the Lord comes. And when the Lord came to him, interesting story. Amazing. This story, I find it interesting every time I read it. The Lord told Elijah something that he didn't know. He said, well, you know, there's a reason that allowed the brook to dry up. Because now I'm going to get 2 for 1. See? There's a woman, a widow woman that have been praying, you know, and God is going to solve that widow woman's problem. She's been praying and, she's running out because there had been no rain anywhere, and she's running out of supply, and she thinks she's about to die. And God's going to answer her prayer. And the way God's going to answer her prayer has to do with God causing Elijah's brook to dry up first. See? All these things are connected. God has to cause the brook that was supplying Elijah's need to dry up in order for God to meet the need of a widow woman. But look at the way that God said it to Elijah. He said it to Elijah as though it was the widow woman that would sustain Elijah. Well, yes, but God could have sustained him at the brook. He didn't need no widow woman. You know, so there was more than that. Elijah would actually also sustain the widow woman. Now, Elijah knew nothing about it until God told him. More interestingly, the woman that was supposed to sustain Elijah had no clue of what she was going to do. Now, this is what I call divine appointment. When God sets up a meeting between participants that may know nothing about what God is doing. In this case, one of them did, after the Lord told him, that's Elijah. The other woman had no clue that God had already set her up to do that. And even Elijah himself, even though God told him, God didn't tell him who it was. It's only a woman, a widow woman, you know, and so forth. You got to go there and figure it out. You got to obey one instruction in order to get the next instruction. Obey the instruction that said, go to the brook Cherith and stay there. You obey that one, you're doing it. Then another instruction can come. So you got to recognize that those things in your life. God may say one thing today. You must obey that thing and do it. And, you know, while you are doing it, don't be looking for a way of escape. Just be doing what he said. You know, in his own time, if and when, it may not always be when, but if he decides to tell you something different, then so be it. But until he tells you something different, at that called being, whatever, remain there. You know, don't change anything until he tells you differently. See, Elijah didn't change anything. He was there until God told him differently. So he went to this woman or this place where God told him to go. And he meets this woman. And you know the story. The woman's gathering some sticks to, you know, try to go and make fire and bake. And what she thought was going to be her last meal. And Elijah says to her, can you get me something to drink? And I said, cool. And as she was going to get, say, hey, by the way, can you bring me a little mustard? I haven't eaten for days. And the woman said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have nothing in the house. I only have this little thing. And in fact, it's going to be my last meal. I've got a little, you know, flour left, a little oil. And I'm gathering these sticks to make fire, bake this thing. We're going to eat. I'm going to hug my son and we're going to die. Because that's it. That's our last. And Elijah says, oh, well, don't be afraid. Nobody is dying today. Praise the Lord. Now, Elijah realizes this is the woman. Meanwhile, up to this point, the woman knows nothing. Now, I guarantee you she's been praying, you know, but the Lord is the husband of the widow. This woman who thinks she's going to die, God is going to use something, circumstances around her. There are many circumstantial stories in this story. But it's not circumstantial to God. It's just circumstantial to us who's looking from the outside. God orchestrating everything. But it looks circumstantial. It looks circumstantial that this man should just come and meet her when she's gathering the sticks. You know, she'll come from nowhere at the very time that she was in that place. That's when Elijah appeared there. She could have been there an hour earlier or an hour later, but at the very time that she was there, that's the time that God put Elijah's journey to arrive there and met that divine appointment. So you see how God's using this. And this woman's circumstantial answer to prayer, which she didn't know anything about, didn't even know that she's going to be the person to sustain Elijah. God using all these circumstances to bring them together. So you can see how God can do this. And so, well, she went and did, you know, she was about to go and do, and the man now brought the word of the Lord. When he told her, don't be afraid, go do as you said, but also bring me that bread that I asked for. For thus saith the Lord. And I love that. And I'm going to be talking about that in this series. Thus saith the Lord. The barrel of meal. shall not waste, and the cruse of oil shall not fail until the day that the Lord sent her. You know the story. And she went and did, and the barrel of meal, just like the word of Elijah, did not fail or waste, didn't finish. The little thing she had kept multiplying. And so she supplied Elijah's needs, but Elijah's word of prophecy, see, also met her own needs. And again, this brings me to the point that, look, the prophetic has the ability to change your situation. That's right. It's so powerful. You know, so, you know, even though I tell you sometimes, you know, you don't need to be here and there and so forth. But look, when it comes, the Rhema word carries the ability to change your trajectory. This woman was headed for death. The word of God that came change that story. Hallelujah. But you see how God uses circumstances. In the drying of the brook to persuade Elijah that it was time to go. So that's, you know, when we look at it now, it looks like circumstantial, but God arranged it. See, because God could have spoken one word, you know, let there be water in the brook. And there would have been. But God said nothing. Allow the brook to dry up. So that is God using circumstances to make it easier for Elijah to know that that situation is done. Sometimes on your job, situation may become unbearable. You know, people start to gang up on you. People start to accuse you of things you didn't do. And all kinds of things. And it'll make your life. This job, when you started, it was great. You know, I mean, it was flowing great. And then all of a sudden, everything starts to go wrong. On that, you could not do anything right. Not you, but it seemed like you couldn't do anything right. Whatever you did, even right, people called it wrong. And everything got, just everything got choked up. Could be God is using those circumstances to speak to you that the brook is now dry. Hallelujah. So you see how God can use those circumstances to speak to us. I hope you are tracking with me in this lesson. Here's another story. Actually, I can preach on that Elijah thing for hours, but let me leave it there. There's a lot of lessons there. Here's another story. You know, you're going to jump to the New Testament now. That was the Old Testament. Well, all right. Let's see. This is the New Testament. The Holy Spirit has come and everything. And still God can use the circumstances, you know, to speak to us. And this is a story I'm going to tell you in the life of Paul. He has now been converted. He's now an apostle. He's on his missionary journeys. He is doing all these things. You know, Luke is with him and they're doing all these things and so forth. Now, in Acts chapter 16, we're going to see, you know, where God used, you know, circumstances or events around him, you know. And before I tell you exactly what it is that happened, let me read to you the story. Maybe you can discern in the story yourself what it was that God did. So let's read the story together. Acts chapter 16. I'm going to read from about maybe verse 6 to about verse 10 or so. So let's read it. You know, so now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and listen, say, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to go and preach the word in Asia. Why? Why would the Holy Ghost do that? You know, and how were they forbidden? Did the Holy Ghost say to them point blank, don't go? You know, maybe. And, or maybe the Lord put roadblocks in front of them. You know, because every time they tried to go to this place called Bithynia, they tried. You know, but they met with roadblocks. He said, we are said to go. That means we tried to go, but they met with roadblocks. You know, today, let's think of the roadblocks. Maybe you try to go. You didn't get your visa. That could be a roadblock. Maybe you try to go. You missed your flight. That could be a roadblock. I mean, all kinds of things can happen in our lives today. You know, where God may be using those circumstances to speak to you. Now, it could be the devil blocking your way, but it could also be God using those things. You know, praise the Lord. You know, when I was a young man, I used to read these religious copies. I mean, they were like comics or things like that, put out by scripture, you know, people in those days. So there was one I read, and this thing stayed with me for a long time. You know, I was just coming into the faith then. Maybe I was 19 or 20. I don't know. Long time ago, because I remember I was still in high school. And I saw this, I read this thing, and they illustrated it with pictures and things like that. And they were trying to show the ministry of angels. It was funny how they taught it, but it stayed with me for a long time. You know, how angels sometimes might actually do bad things in order to bring some good in your life. Later I found out there's actually scripture backing for it, you know, but at that time, it was interesting to read this thing. I illustrated it. And you know how young people like to just read things and visual things. And so there was this angel that was on assignment. And there was this person, you know, that, you know, there was some, he was headed out somewhere and he was going to get into a terrible accident. Now, this is just stories that were made up to illustrate the point. Might have happened in real life. I don't know. But this particular one was just a story. And you can call it a parable. And, you know, he was rushing to go down. He fell down the stairs, you know, something. Actually, he didn't fall down the stairs. The angel tripped him. You say, but that's contrary to the scripture because he would cause his angels to bear you up. You won't dash your foot against the wall. That's what I thought when I first read it. But angel actually tripped him, broke his ankle, and it wasn't bad enough that he would be out for days, but it was bad enough to delay him for just long enough that he wouldn't be in that accident. And when I was thinking about it, I said, I don't know about that. I mean, God can't tell him. I didn't go just speak to him. Because when I was a young man and I come into the faith like that, you know, just at that time, that's all I knew was Holy Ghost spoke to you. You spoke to God. And, you know, God told you things and so forth. You had faith. You know, I mean, I didn't know all these things that I now know. You know, I'm like, no, I don't know about that. And they gave some more examples and so on and so forth. You know. Even cases, they gave another example. And somebody is rushing to go to a place, you know, and the angel smote him with blindness. The angel of the Lord, not the devil. And he's looking for his keys, and he can't find the keys. The keys are right there. And some of you have experienced this, you know. I know you've experienced it. You're looking for your keys. You can't find the thing. I mean, the thing is right there, but you just can't see it. You look all over the place and you can't find it. In the meantime, you know, God has averted the disaster. And after that disaster has passed, then all of a sudden, you see these keys in plain sight. I'm like, no, you gotta be kidding me. I've been looking everywhere. Yeah, well, you know, maybe the angel of the Lord just smote your eyes so you wouldn't see because he wanted to because he was probably telling you not to go, but you wouldn't listen. So he had to do something. You know, to prevent you from going. You know, these things, that actually happened in real life. I know some of you have stories. If I stop right now and say, tell stories, some of you would tell these stories. So this is God using circumstances, you know, to change. And I've heard a real life story of a dear brother that I know very well. Yeah, a situation happened, you know, they were in Nigeria at the time and there was a day that they would have been involved in a terrible, ghastly plane crash many years ago. Some horrible plane crash that happened in Nigeria. This brother was supposed to be on it. But the way that God prevented him from not being in that accident, everybody died, was, you know, he was in the house and somebody was supposed to come and stay with the little children so he can go on this trip. But the person did not come on time. And he was furious because he was going to miss his flight. This is a true story now. This is not if I mention his name, many of you who are here, I would know him, but I won't. You know, this is not a parable now. And, well, because of that delay, he missed his flight. He was angry. I'm furious. But lo and behold, God saved his life. He would have been on that flight, might have died with everybody else. People crashed and burned in that flight. You know, unfortunately. I know also a brother, a friend, you know, who also, you know, was saved by circumstances like that. This other brother would have been on the flight, actually, you know, somehow walking on the plane. But somehow there was a shift change. Somebody, you know, changed shift with him and so on. I didn't get on that one. They traded places and the plane crashed. It could have been in the plane. I don't want to get too deep into the story because some of you might recognize the story. But, you know, these things happen. During 9/11 here in the United States, happened years ago in 2001. There were stories that were revealed later on. There were some people that were supposed to have made it and walked in that building. I heard the story. And, you know, somehow he missed his train. You know, he was supposed to get on the train that day and get to work. And he missed his train and he was angry. And he would be late. Well, the delay caused him to miss that event. And he would have been in the building. And there were so many other stories like that that happened around that time. I don't want to go too much into that, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, God can use circumstances to guide us. Or maybe God already told him, don't go, but he wasn't listening. Well, so God will make him to miss his flight or something like that. So, but you get the point. God can use circumstances. Now back to our story here in Acts 16. God already said, and you all know it, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into everywhere, all nations, teaching them to do this and this. And, you know, in Acts chapter 13, there were certain prophets and teachers that were together. And as they ministered unto the Lord, the Holy Ghost spake and said unto them, separate unto me, you know, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. So they already had the charge to go do these things, and they were going everywhere and doing it and so forth, you know. And you see Paul's missionary journey there, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. This is Acts chapter 13. He went to Seleucia, you know, then he went to Cyprus, then he went to Salamis, then he went to this place, and he went to that place. Then he came onto an isle called Paphos, then he went to, I mean, he was everywhere doing what God sent them to do. Now, he came to a point in time, now in this chapter 16, where they were going to go to this place, some place, the place didn't matter. They were going to go to some place because this is what God told them to do, and they were about to do it, and they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. Now, maybe the Holy Ghost point blank said, don't go. I don't know. But everything they tried to do, when they tried, say we are saved to go, we were blocked. Their way was blocked. Something was happening. Well, but there was a reason behind that. What was the reason why they were trying to go to this place and couldn't go? But let's read it further. Go back to, you know, this story in Acts chapter 16. When they had tried to go and they couldn't go, but the Spirit suffered them not, you know, because, you know, God was just preventing them, you know, somehow. I don't know how he did it. Maybe their plans weren't working, you know, they couldn't get their papers or whatever it was. After all of that, it's like Paul probably wondering in his mind, you know. So anyway, it came to pass that God, that same night, you know, Paul was in a vision. And in the vision, there stood a man of Macedonia. You guys know this story. Come over to Macedonia and help us. It's in this story. And they saw in a vision, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now he understands that God wants to send them to Macedonia. That's why when they were trying to go to all these other places, their way was blocked. I mean, God could have said point blank, that's not the place, you are going to Macedonia. But first he blocked their way and then showed them something, you know, and so forth. And then now, he said, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering now, see, because of events that led to that, and then this vision afterwards, he now gathered that the Lord has sent us to preach the gospel over there. Well, God blocked them in one place. Made every attempt they tried to go, couldn't go. And Paul at that time probably didn't know. I was like, why in the world? You know, I mean, but there was a reason. God wanted them to go to Macedonia. So he blocked the way here. And then later on, he saw a vision that confirmed it. And now they were assured that this is what the Lord is saying, because God has used circumstances. See, the place they wanted to go before is now blocked. There's no way there. So now it's easier for them to recognize that the Lord is telling them something. See, if the way had opened up to Bithynia, and at the same time, Paul had got the vision to say, come over to Macedonia. Now he has a choice. Which one should I go? We're going to Bithynia already, and then I'm getting this thing that says, come to Macedonia and help us, you know. But God will make it easier by blocking something so that there's only one way. So can see how God uses circumstances and can use these circumstances to speak to us. Interesting lessons. So that's one area that I wanted to talk about today. There's one more area that I want to talk about. Actually, two more things. That's how to flow in the prophetic yourself and how, you know, to get God's leading in any of these areas. What you must do if you want to have dreams. I mean, if you're giving two dreams and, you know, how to do it. You know, to make sure God's speaking to you through that area. If you're given to visions, you're given to, you know, God's voice inside of you and so on, you know, and the word of God and all these things that we've talked about, how to position ourselves, you know, to how we must get it. The prophetic is the last that I'm going to talk about. And basically, it's that simple. It's prophetic. You know, it's not that you become a prophet all of a sudden. It's not even that you have the gift of prophecy, but a dimension in which the Holy Spirit is flowing is called the prophetic. And how does it work? Well, think of a garden hose or some plumbing in your house. Sometimes the plumbing is clogged up. Too much calcium and other deposits can clog up the plumbing. A garden hose. I have one garden hose in front of my house, another one in the back. And sometimes they are kinked up. When there's a kink in that garden hose, you can turn on the faucet or the tap to the fullest, the water will not come out. Even though the water is flowing from the source, but it won't come out because there's a kink in the hose. You know, sometimes I'm trying to use the water hose to hose down my car or whatever, and I know I've turned it on, and then the water is not coming out. Like, what in the world? And then I'm looking, and somewhere along the hose, the thing is kinked up, twisted, and the water cannot come out. But you find out that as soon as you straighten out the kink, here rushes the water out. You know, so what does that tell you? Well, it tells you that there may be kinks that we need to straighten out, not to allow the flowing of the Spirit. Spirit is ready to flow, just like the water is ready to go, but, you know, kink is not allowing it. There are many kinks that we need to work out in our lives. Same thing with the plumbing that's clogged in the, I mean, you turn out the tap and find out that the water is not flowing. You know, sometimes they put this, little sifter in the, you know, at the tip of the tap, you know, to collect debris that's in the water. And sometimes that thing gets, there was one day I had that situation at Ali more than once. I turned on a tap that was in a faucet. I mean, the faucet that was in a vanity sink or something in the bathroom. And the water wasn't coming out very well. It was coming, but not very well. And then I realized that this little sifter they put at the tip or the mouth of the tap to collect debris. When I took that thing out, the water just rushed out. You know, so all these things tell us that, look, there may be things that are blocking the flow of the Spirit. And those are the things that we need to work out. Kinks, blockers, debris, and all these other things. And you know, the things that are, you know, can block the Holy Spirit more than anything else. Number one, disobedience. When the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, you don't do it. But it's not going to tell you again and again and again and again. You know, maybe sometimes he might tell you again and again, trying to woo you. Enough time passes, you know, grieve not the Holy Spirit by whom you are sealed. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, he might just stop. You know, so that's a blocker. Disobedience is a blocker. And it may not be disobedience to God's direct instruction in a particular situation. It may be disobedience to any part of God's word that he already gave, like forgive. You know, people do, you know, you call it unforgiveness, but it's also disobedience because God commanded us to forgive. And so if you have unforgiveness in your life, you're not forgiving and so on. You know, people done something to you, you hold on to it forever. Well, it may be blocking certain things, you know. Also, unbelief. I mean, these things, you know, my goodness. You know, unbelief was the reason why the children of Israel could not enter into the promised land. They did not sanctify the word of God. If God tells us something, we are unbelieving. Well, remember, you know, the unbelieving, they are not going to get in there. You know, the Bible says that to us, even in the book of Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. The fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. So he puts unbelieving and fearful in the same category with murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars and all these things. You know, this thing could block the flow of God so quick. They're called the little foxes spoil the vine. That these little blockers, they don't have to be big blockers. You know, somebody may say, wow, you know, I don't kill, I don't steal, I don't do these big things. Well, some people even say cardinal sins. A sin is a sin is a sin. But whatever it is that you don't think you do, Romans was telling us, I said, look, you may say, I don't blaspheme, but you commit sacrilege. You may say, I don't commit sacrilege, but I do these other things. You know, so all these things can block the Holy Spirit flow. Another one that blocks the Holy Spirit more than anything else is distractions. You know, we talked about that, you know, briefly yesterday or the other day. Distraction. We are running here and there. Martha was so distracted. I got to do this. I got to do that and so forth. Whereas, you know, one other person, her sister, just sat down at the feet of Jesus. So distractions. And there is a distraction that all of us are subject to. Or the devil knows how to bring even more of those kinds of distractions. Our daily routines of work, exercise, whatever, you know, that we are doing. It may be such that they may actually distract us from spending time in the presence of God. You got to know how to work that with being still to know and hear his voice. Be still and know that I am God. If you are not still, until you get still, you cannot know. You know. We talked about that yesterday briefly at the end of the lesson. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 1 says, you know, keep silence before me, O islands, everywhere. You know, just be still before the Lord sometimes. You know, sometimes, you know, too much hustle and bustle will prevent us from being able to discern his voice. You know, he's trying to speak to us, but he can't get through to us because there's too much distraction. You know, and you know, we can go on and on and on about that. You know, it is important to know why the Lord put it this way. You know, in Psalm 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. So there's a certain knowledge. There's a certain place of revelation about God that comes from stillness. You know, that means get rid of all the distraction, you know. Anything that's going to stabilize you, you know, cause you to be agitated. You know, those, the devil knows how to do those things. When agitated and quarreling with your spouse, quarreling with your parent, quarreling with your children, quarreling with your coworkers, quarreling with yourself, even sometimes. Yeah, I mean, all of these agitations, they always be kind of flow. You gotta be still and know that I am God. Hallelujah. And then also, if you find yourself, I mean, this is the same way that the gifts of the Spirit work. If you find things that God is using in your life, well, then you've got to do more. You know, the Bible says that, you know, the gifts of God that are given to us in Romans chapter 12, having then gifts differing according to the grace of God, This is Romans 12, verse 6. Whether it's prophecy, well, I even say whether it's dreams, whether it's visions, whether it is hearing the still small voice, whatever these gifts that are in, let's do it according to the proportion of faith. Ministry, let's do it according to the, proportion of faith. Ministry, now wait on your thing. Whatever it is, wait on it. Did I wait? I played a song at the beginning. Wait on the Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Wait on the Lord. See what he's saying. I talked briefly about waiting yesterday in response to a question. Waiting on the Lord, is the question. What will you have me do next? That's what the waiter in the restaurant does. Comes to you and say, how's your meal going, sir? Everything good? What can I get you next? They're waiting on you, but they are doing something in response. They're not just sitting in a corner for you to call them. Sometimes they do that, but sometimes they come to your table too and ask you, can I get you something else? And so on and so forth. And so we can wait, and we got to know how to wait. We have reasons why we don't know how to wait. Naturally speaking, many people are not patient. But here's what the psalmist said in Psalm 40. How to tie this patience to the subject of waiting. Sometimes we don't know how to be patient. We just want everything right now. I waited patiently for the Lord, and the Lord inclined unto me and heard my cry. You might have been crying to the Lord for something and asking him for some direction. You got to be patient. If you are not patient, then you are going to take matters into your hands, and you might make a blunder or make a mistake. Got to be patient in waiting for the Lord. And even if his answer tarries, wait for it. Wait again, I must clarify, it doesn't mean just sit around, don't go to work, don't go anywhere, don't do anything, just be waiting. No. It means you are going about doing your thing, but in your mind you are saying, Lord, help me to hear when you speak. and ready to say yes when he speaks. Yes to his answer, whether the answer seems favorable to you or not. I use the word seems, because his answer is always favorable. I know the thoughts that I have towards you, Jeremiah 29:11. His answer is always favorable. It may not look like that to you at the moment, but it is always favorable. I'm going to cover this topic more tomorrow, and how to actually wait on these things by the grace of God. We'll cover that tomorrow, and I think we'll close out the series there. But today, let me wrap up and give you a summary of what we've talked about. Today's lesson was primarily on God speaking to us through circumstances, and then also, walking in the prophetic. That one I will deal with some more, because there's a lot to it, what it actually means. Does it mean I have to be a prophet, etc., etc.? No. But how can I walk in the prophetic then if I'm not a prophet? Or I don't have the gift of prophecy? Well, every one of you is actually, has that ability to be in the prophetic. Because if the word of God comes to you, that's the prophetic. And Psalm 82 says, we are gods. And Jesus referred to you and said, the people that are called gods are the people to whom the word of God comes. Well, we know also the word comes to the prophet. And, in this generation, we should be all prophetic. Even a prophecy given centuries ago that said, in the last days, the Lord will raise up the most prophetical generation, because I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. They'll prophesy. They may not be prophets, but they have the ability to prophesy, because they have the ability to connect with the Spirit of God. That's really what prophecy is. You connect with the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit shows you something. That's prophecy. It may not be something that's future, and even be something that's past. But a prophet can go into different dimensions, a real prophet. And so the attributes of prophetic, not that you're a prophet, but the attribute of prophetic can show you things to come. Holy Spirit does that. He'll show you an answer for now. He will explain something that's happened in the past. When you're connected, the Holy Spirit will be dropping things in your mind. We'll see examples in the scriptures. But, you know, that's our lesson for today. And our prayer for today is this. Lord, help me to know how to hear your voice through whatever ways the Lord's been speaking to you in the past, whatever new ways he may choose to speak to you in the spirit now. And even when you think you're not hearing the voice of God because he's not speaking in the way that you are used to, he may be speaking through some other means, even circumstances. So this is a very wide and broad subject, and I pray the Holy Spirit will narrate it more into your hearts, explain it more in Jesus' name. And then lastly, we will deal more on walking in the prophetic ourselves, because that's so real. We'll see scriptures about that and what that also means, and how finally to wait on the Lord in whatever it is that, you know, however God is speaking to us, how to develop that thing even more. And it all ties also with, you know, some things that God has put into our lives. And people are wondering, well, what is God's call? Well, you know, God will show you certain things that are already working in your life. And we'll talk about that also briefly by God's grace. So God doesn't, you know, just waste our life. You know, there's something there. He will use it, just like he said to Gideon, I can use that fire in you. That fire in him that was saying, I'm not satisfied with this status quo. Well, God put that fire there, and God can use that. There are many stories in the Bible of whom God can use. They use their situation to figure out the ways of God. And you may find out that there is something that you have the propensity of doing better than other things in your life. Well, maybe that's God showing you something. So we'll talk about that even some more. Right now, I'm going to pray and end the lesson and give you a chance to respond and give your reactions. Father, I thank you, Lord, for today's lesson. Once again, we covered an aspect of God's voice in our lives and how to discern it, and use that to in discovering the purpose of God for our lives. We thank you, Lord, because your word will not fall to the ground without bringing forth the fruit that it was intended to do. And it will prosper in the thing whereunto you sent it, and it accomplish your pleasure. So let it be for us for the word that we have heard today. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. Thank you, Lord, for the ability, the grace also, as we prayed earlier, pray for grace to be able to say yes when you call. And the Lord can put a demand on our lives at any time, because he owns our lives and we are purchased with a price. He can put a demand on your time, can put a demand on your very life. And we must be ready to say yes. As it is written, thy people will be willing in the day of thy power, according to Psalm 110 verse 3. Lord, make us willing to say yes in the day that you call, and when you want to send, that we may also say, here I am, Lord, send me. Thank you, Father. We give you the praise and give you the glory as you teach us more and more on understanding what the will of the Lord is. We give you, Lord, all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.